few weeks ago we were talking in Mark about this chapter. I want to pick up from this, then we're going to kind of get over into 1 Corinthians, Paul's interpretation of what was going on. It says, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed into the ground and should sleep by night and raise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. We talked a little bit about there's a God side and a man side here. And this, and what Jesus was sharing here is the man is the one doing the scattering, amen? You need to put the word of God into your life. And then he says when it has come up and when it is ready for harvest, what does the man have to do? He's got to go out and call that harvest in. And what we're going to discuss today is the in-between part. Paul's explanation of how the seed grows. Because we talked about our heart being the production center. Remember that? Without sowing the seed into the heart, we don't produce anything. That is what Paul is trying to get to when we get into 1 Corinthians. You can flip over into 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 15 is where we're going to spend most of the time today. We're going to break this down, you know, line behind line. I kept trying to write this down. I've been trying to get to these scriptures for 3 or 4 weeks. I think the Lord has been trying to do more in me than in you. Amen? Because I've been just meditating on them. Okay, Lord, I'm seeing this. I'm not understanding this. How can I take what you're showing me and put it into words that we can understand? And it's taken me 3 to 4 weeks just going over it and over. Okay, Lord, I'm starting to understand it, but I can't communicate what you're showing to me here. That being said, I'm going to read this, and we're just going to kind of break it down piece by piece, okay? I'm going to start in verse 9. But just as it is written, now this is Paul. Let me back up a little bit. What Paul was dealing with within the Corinthian church was there were people coming in and started to teach the Corinthian church basically works, okay? And they were basically putting Paul down, for lack of a better way to put this. They were saying that basically, Paul, he ain't all he's cracked up to be. We have more knowledge than him. They were Pharisees and Sadducees actually working their way into the church. Whether they were born again or not, we don't know. So they started to infiltrate into the Corinthian church, and they were basically putting Paul down and the wisdom of Paul. And Paul had to then write this letter. He wasn't even there, basically to refute some of the misdoctrine and the things that were being taught to them within the church. So that's the overall big picture of what's going on in the Corinthian church. What he's trying to communicate to the church is, hey, look it, you're listening to a bunch of intellectuals, and that's how the best way we could preface this is, you know, you got your big think tanks. You know what a think tank is? A think tank is someplace where a bunch of smart people sit around and think. You got a bunch of think tank people show up to the Corinthian church and say, well, Paul, you know, he's into that spirit stuff. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of out here, but intellectually, you can think this thing through in your head, and some of the things he's saying isn't working out. Now, Paul's trying to refute that. Amen? And Paul's trying to bring them back to their original love, which was what? The birth of the Spirit. What Paul's trying to get into is like, look at man, you can't learn this stuff in your head. You've heard it 100 times from me. You can't learn spiritual truth in your head. And they're telling him that he could. Basically what they were doing, and you see it very vividly in a lot of churches today, is they live by the law. Oh, there's certain rules. You got to clean up. You got to wear certain things. I'm like, wait a minute. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has nothing to do with who you are in the Spirit or how you grow in the Spirit. It's all it is facade. And it is just as prevalent within the charismatic movement, guys. We are not immune to it. I'm telling you, man, you can see it. But it's works. It's facade. And Paul is trying to get them back to where is the truth? And the truth lies right within these verses. And if you take it and tie it to what we saw in Mark, you'll see this is the behind the scenes, or Paul's trying to explain how the word of God multiplies in your life. Amen? And we're just going to kind of go over this. It says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So what is Paul really saying here? You can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't feel it, but where does it enter? It enters where? Into the heart of man. That's their production center. That's what Paul is trying to get to say there. The production center in your life is where? It's your heart. Okay? Going back into Mark. Where is the production center? What the soil is what? The heart of man. What he's doing, he's tying that back together with it. What is Paul really saying here? He's saying you really can't understand or you can't comprehend who God is in your head. You've got to be able to comprehend who he is within your heart. And now he's going to get into explaining what is actually happening here. But God has revealed them to us. That word to us is very important. To us. To who? To us. To the born-again believer. He's not even addressing the people that came in and caused the confusion. He's saying to us, because he already knows that he was there when these people got born again. He was the one that led them to the Lord. So he's going right back to where it happened in their lives. To us, because he was there when they got born again. Through his Spirit. Now, that's a big H, right? So who's he talking about here? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I'm going to lay some hair up right now. For to us, God revealed them through, and the King James says, his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. That's S right there. I truly believe what Paul was talking about. And if you want to go over into Proverbs, why don't you flip over into Proverbs so you can see it. He's referring to Proverbs 20:27 there. That S shouldn't have been capitalized. He's separating his spirit with the spirit of man. Now this is Proverbs 20:27. This is what Paul is referring to. The spirit of a man is a lamp unto the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. Now what is that scripture saying? Really what this scripture is saying is your spirit, your heart, is the heart of who you are. And it is the light bulb or the flashlight that God uses to search who you are. So what Paul was saying here in 1 Corinthians, to get it all back together, there's your spirit and the Holy Spirit working together where? Within your heart. And this will make a little more sense to you. What I want you to see is there's two things happening within your heart. There's the Spirit of God, because what does he do? When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, what does he do? He moves into you. And there's your spirit. So you've got two spirits within you, the Holy Spirit, and you are a spiritual being, correct? Now he's going to go on to explain, and it will make a little more sense to you, what this scripture is referring to here. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man? That's why I can say, for the spirit searches all things. Number one is the Holy Spirit already knows all things, doesn't he? He knows all the things about God. He doesn't have to search about knowing God. He already knows God because he is God. Does that make sense to you? That's why I think he's talking about the spirit of man here. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Your spirit knows all about you. You know, in the dark, when the lights go out, your spirit knows every area in your life. Every area that the door is not open to the Lord, your spirit knows about. Do you understand that? Even so, no one knows, and this is where he ties this up, even so, no one knows the things of God except for who? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So what is Paul saying here? You've got your spirit that knows all about you, and you've got the Holy Spirit who knows all about what? God. Together within your heart. That is who you are if you're born again. You've got your spirit, which is alive, and you've got the Holy Spirit who's alive where? Within you. And that's what Paul is trying to draw together. And he goes on to explain this a little bit further in verse, the spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, this is Paul slamming his intellectual buddies, okay? Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Everything that we need to know, we find out by the Spirit of God. Where? Within our hearts. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. We can't learn it intellectually, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. That's how it works in your life. If you're not putting the Word of God into your heart, if you're not planting the seeds of God into your heart, the Holy Spirit is looking for that. And what it does is, as you read, as you listen to God, as you listen to preachers, as you listen to me preaching, as you listen and you read the Word of God, you're depositing where? Seed into what? Into your heart. Now, the Holy Spirit is in you. And he's like, wow, okay, he's depositing things. And the Holy Spirit goes, okay, how can I get this, everything that he's hearing, these spiritual truths that he's planting into his heart, into his head? Because without getting into your head, you don't know what you have. It's got to move from your heart to your head. That's that divine thing that you're seeing in Mark. It's in the ground. How is it working? We don't know. We do know. It's the Holy Spirit enlightening, going through our heart with his little flashlight, saying, whoa, there's truth here. How do I illuminate that truth into his what? Into his mind. It's got to go from your heart. It's got to grow from your heart into your mind so it can come what? Off your lips. We operate just like God operated. This goes back right to the beginning. How did God operate? How did God create everything you see? He had it in his heart. Let us create light. It went to his head, and what did he do? Then he spoke it, and it became into being. That is the principles that we live by. We are born again of the Spirit. That's how we operate. So what happens? That Word of God, as you read it, you're just reading along, and all of a sudden, wow. The Word says, whatever I put my hands to does prosper. Huh, why? I hope that would happen to my life. Well, wow. That's the Word of God dropping. That's you putting the seed of God into your life. Well, then it's the Holy Ghost's responsibility to bring that to light. Wow. And bring it into a language that you listen to, that you can talk. Think about this when you read. Do you hear the words in your head? Do you? I do. Oh, thus said the cat. I hear it in my head first. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing of the Word of God. So as you're reading the Word of God, you're hearing the Word of God. That's how faith works. So that gets into your heart. The Holy Spirit is working, and he's illuminating those words to you. And you're just doing your day. You're getting up by day, you're going to bed by night. You're just living life, is what Mark is saying. You're just living life. And the Holy Spirit is using your language to speak to you in a way that you can understand. Wow, whatever I put my hands to does prosper. All my needs are met according to his riches. Huh. And he puts that into a language that, number one, is you can comprehend within your head. Once you comprehend that language within your head, then it's up to you to do what? To do the reaping. The reaping is how you speak it. Oh, wow. So let's just take this down to a bill, because it's easier with a bill. You know, you look at your bank account. There's no money in it. And you got a $100 bill that comes in. And you've been meditating on this. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then the bill comes. And the first thing that comes into is fear. Oh, I ain't got no money in my bank to pay that bill. But the Word of God says, oh, all my needs are met according to his riches. So, at that point, you've got a decision to make. What do you believe? You believe the bill coming in, or do you believe the Word of God? So, how we combat the enemy is, Yes, the reality is you don't have the money in the bank at the time to write for the money for that bill. But what you do in your head is, okay, there's the bill. Fear comes, oh God, and fear would just, oh, I got to go beg money, I got to go get money, I got to do it. We look at a natural way to do it. But what we need to do is just speak to the thing. Oh, the word says my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We stand there and then let God do the rest. Amen? There's a God side and a man side. You got to go to work so you can pay your bill. But God's the one that prospers you. Amen? After the fall, God didn't say, well, go sit around the garden and do nothing. He put us to work to till. Yeah, you got to work. There's a God side and a man side to everything. God's not going to intervene if you're not willing to do your part. Your part is to get the word of God into your heart so that he can activate it. And you're going to see things happen. Things won't break down. God will stretch what you got to get the bill paid. And I'm using money here because we can all relate to it. But it's every area of our life. Whether it's salvation, whether it's money, whether it's healing, whatever it is in life, the promises of God are ours. How do we activate the promises of God? How do we put the things of God within our life? We put them in our heart. And that allows the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to infuse within to our minds the truth of God. And then once we get convinced, because what is faith? Faith is simply a persuasion, being persuaded about something, or lack of a better way, what you believe. Well, if I believe God's going to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus, I start speaking it. What you believe will come out of your mouth. Whether negative or positive, guys, and most of your life and most of your world is formed by, well, actually, everything in your life, everything in around you is formed by what comes out of your mouth. You get what you say. It is a spiritual law. If you speak poverty, if you speak unbelief, you're going to walk in unbelief. Because it has no energy. Faith is an energy. Remember, we talked about that? It's a thing that brings substance to what we hope for. Hope is that word being dropped into the soil. And faith is the energy that creates what you're believing for. So you better be watching out what you're talking. Look at your words. If you're not looking at your words, you're framing a really bad picture. Now, to say that, I don't want you to get all wound up on every word that comes out of your mouth. There's God's grace. There's God's mercy. Amen? We're all learning. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. We're always being refined. We know in part, we see in part. And God, in his grace and in his mercy, brings the word of God that we need to grow into. That's why you can go into churches and you see people that have been in churches for 50, 60 years, they're in the same place. Because they're not allowing the word to come into their heart. They're not watering the word, and then they're not harvesting the word. God knows exactly where you are. That's what he's talking about. The spirit of the man knows who you are. Your spirit knows who you are, and the Holy Spirit knows where he wants to get you. It's you cooperating with the Holy Spirit that will get you over in life. That's why you don't see a lot of mature Christians today, because we're not applying the word of God. If you don't put anything into the soil, go around to some of these fields as you're driving around. You'll see they're empty. Did you know they just announced in Indiana so many counties going after federal money because they didn't get the seed in the ground? They don't get the seed in the ground, you don't get a harvest, do you? It's just as true in our lives. And I'm not talking about reading 85 chapters a day. Start with where you're at. Put something in. Listen to some preacher. Get the word into you so that you have something for the Holy Spirit to what? To work with. The God side and the man side. But if you're not doing the man side, I'm completely out of shape of where I was 7 years ago. 7 years ago, I was out installing every day of my life. Today, I'm a weakling because I don't do it anymore. I mean, I was unloading some stuff at the school this week going, dang, this is heavy stuff. I used to whip that stuff around all day long. It's like, dang, I'm getting tired. Because I'm not used to doing it. I'm not doing the man thing. The man part is just getting into the Word, doing some study, go to Bible study, just get something into you. You're not giving anything for any resistance. You know, resistance builds muscle. If you're not giving any resistance in your life and building yourself up, you're always going to be weak and defeated. And God did not come to make us weak and defeated. He came us to overcome and to dominate. Amen? Life shouldn't be dominating us. We should be dominating life. You know what I'm saying? I was just reading in the room right here. I read a lot. I got 3 or 4 books that I read all the time. It says, you know, resist the devil and he will flee. Huh. Dang. What do I got to do? Dang. And then he'll flee. We got to do something. There's always that side. And that's what Jesus was saying with the seed. The man side is you doing your part. You getting into it. These things we also speak, not in words which men and women teach, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive these things of the Spirit of God. You can't learn this stuff. You'll never grow or increase in the wisdom of God in your natural mind. You know, you've heard me say that 100 times. It's not like becoming a vet, where you got a book, you got to read the book, and then you learn the anatomy of a crocodile, or whatever you're learning about. You know what I'm saying? This is not that. How you grow in the things of God is through your spirit man. Because we are to be spirit dominated. We're not to be ruled by our flesh. We're not to be ruled by our mind, our will, and our emotion. We're to be ruled by what? The Spirit of God. They're naturally the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. How many times have you ever sat around with somebody that's completely unsaved? Dale and I were having this conversation with a friend of his. He's not regenerated. He doesn't have a Spirit of God in him. So when you sit there and you talk to him about salvation, they kind of look at you like, it makes no sense to me. Nicodemus is a great example of that. Remember when Jesus, well, you must be born again. And Nicodemus came out of his little tree and goes, well, does he go back into his mother's womb? Sounds like a pretty silly question, but to a guy that doesn't know, it's a completely legitimate question. Amen? So we can't comprehend it up here. It can only grow from here into your heart, and God illuminates that. That's what the word talks about in Proverbs, the light of the Lord. It's a lamp. It brings illumination into your mind. Nor can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. And that's what Paul is saying here. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is not judged. Basically, what Paul is talking about here is that inward witness. Amen. We all have it. If you're born again, you've had a witness. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians, no temptation is uncommon to you, but God is faithful. You always make a way of escape. That's that inward witness. Whenever we're getting ready to step over into sin, we get that little feeling in our stomach, don't we? Oh, don't do it. That's the Spirit of God speaking to you. You need to train that little voice. It's a good little voice. I know it sounds just like you, because it does. He doesn't change his voice. He uses what you hear. You can trust your conscience. That's your conscience saying, don't go any further. Or you get around somebody that might have ulterior motives. I mean, I'll be honest with you, right within the church. And that's what Paul's talking about here is within the church. Man, there are false teachers out there, guys. They aren't teaching the Word of God. They're teaching it for profit. Well, your spirit will pick up on that. You go, wow, wait a minute. I'm not bearing witness to what he's saying. Or what I like is, man, there's just something that's not right. Well, listen to that spirit. Listen, that inward witness. That's the Holy Spirit in you communicating with your spirit. You might not know what the problem is. You don't need to know. All you need to do is what? Obey. So stay away from that one. Let's not take that piece of bubble gum off the counter and stick it in my pocket for the 8-year-olds or 5-year-olds. Hey, we've all been there, guys, because it's faith. The Spirit of God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what but he'll always what? Make a way of escape. There's always a way out if we're willing to listen and obey. Resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. Glory to God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? What is he saying? There's nobody on earth that's smart enough to start instructing God here. No intellectual, no think tank can outthink God. But this is the greatest gem in the Bible. And this is a promise of God that you should implant into your life. But we have the mind of Christ. Think about that promise. We have the mind of Christ. What he's saying here is, everything you need to succeed is where? In you. You have the mind of God. That is a great promise. Meditate on it. Chew on that a little bit and have the Lord start enlightening you. And when you're doing life, well, I don't know what to do here. Yeah, you do. Because why? You have the mind of Christ. John talks about it in 1 John. You have an unction. You have an anointing. You have a spirit within you that you what? Know all things. There's nothing that you don't know if you will tap in to who's in you. That is how we are to live. That's how we overcome in life. That's what happens if any man be in Christ. He's a new creature. Behold, all that other crap is gone and it's become new. That's the new part of being born again. The Spirit of God alive in you, quickening your mortal bodies, bringing to life your mortal bodies, bringing back to life your mortal bodies. These are the promises of God. But you have the mind of Christ. Everything that God knows is where? It's in you. All you have to do is tap into it. How do we tap into it? We get into the Word of God. We start planting the Word of God into our little heart, into our production center. As that's in the production, you just keep, I mean, if you're a smart farmer, you're not even looking behind. All you're doing is plowing and planting. Okay? And then you just keep planting, planting, planting. And then you look around and go, wow, I got field. Now let's go get my harvester. Keep plowing, keep planting, and then start looking for the harvest. You don't have to worry about how it works. You don't have to worry about how the Holy Spirit gets it from here to your head. All you got to do is look around and say, wow, look what's happened. And then what? Start speaking it. Wow, God, man, you are good. You are a good God. You are taking care of me. Dang, I haven't missed a bill in the last 8 months. I haven't done this. Dang, my body is healthy and whole. I'm walking. Dang, I haven't had a cold this year. I get a cold every year at this time. I didn't get it this year. Wow, that's the healing of God in your body. That word starts to activate in your life, and you start to walk in it. And all you got to do is say, and how do we overcome? Overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And what we're saying, the word of my testimony. That's what's happening here. That's what Jesus was talking about in the Word of God. We need just to implant into our lives. As we do that, you will mature. You know, Brother Hagin's got a book out. He calls it a state. But most people in the church today are infants. They want to come in here. They want me to feed them so that they can get through the week. The only way you're going to survive, the only way you're going to overcome in this world is, I'll use your little boy. Sooner or later, he's got to get off the breast milk. Because that's what you're living on if you're coming and getting it from me. You got to start feeding yourself. Then you start to grow. You build muscles and start to develop. And wow, next thing you know, he's a 30-year-old man. And you're as dumb as a box of rocks. I mean, that's a different story. Basically, when you turn 18, I think it's more like 14 because that's where my boy is at, I'm getting stupider every day. But I know when he turns 30, I'm going to get starter every day after that. So by the time he hits 45, I'm a genius again. So, but that being said, because they know better than you. Well, that's the same thing in our life. You're an infant. If you're an infant, you're an infant. You just keep feeding off other people. But sooner or later, you got to start eating your own food. And then you're going to start to get some of these principles going in your life, and you go, I don't need anything, and you're going to get a little cocky. And guess what? Life's going to slap you upside the head, because that's life, and you're going to go, wow, maybe I didn't know everything. Maybe I should get around other Christians. Maybe I should get around other people where I can get sharpened, and I can start to grow a little bit more. And then finally, you come to what I call above adolescence, which was between coming into adulthood, and you go, I really don't know anything. God, teach me. And you become completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's where he wants to get you. But it's okay. We got to start with where we're at. Then we got to get to where we're going. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I learned in Bible college. Because every time I open my Bible now, it's like, why didn't I see that 15, 18 years ago? I go, dang, I'm stupid. The more I read, I'm going, God, man, why didn't I apply that 30 years ago? It's just mind-boggling. That's how we mature in the things of God. Because right now, I mean, I'm in a position in my life where, yeah, I've been sowing a lot into my life and putting a lot in there. And finally, my eyes are open and going, there's a field out there ready for harvest. Let's start harvesting. You're where you're at. Just start doing it where you're at. And sooner or later, you'll wake up like I have in the last, I'll be honest with you, it's probably been the last 10 years. I go, God, why did people even listen to me 10 years ago? I was that green. But you start to mature and you start to see things in a different light. And all of a sudden, things that you didn't understand, they all just kind of fall in line. But it's because you're putting things into your life. Remember, the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. You know, the seeds we gave out can fail. You know, if they're not putting their soil right, you are sowing a what? An incorruptible seed. That means it can't fail. So every time you're putting that word into you, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit, which is water, watering it, nurturing it. It can't fail. So all you got to do is start looking around. And I want to say this. You don't have to wait for months to reap. Suddenly, the Spirit came at Pentecost. Suddenly. This can happen suddenly. And start expecting suddenlies in your life. You know, the apostles, call it forth. We're not on a time schedule like the farmers. Oh, we need to plant the ground. We've got to wait 90 days, and then we can go get our harvest. But that's not the way God works. You can plan it, and suddenly the revelation comes to you because it's what you need right then. Expect suddenlies in your life. You know, we see it in Acts. You know, suddenly the Holy Spirit fell upon, and they all spoke in tongues, and what? Thousands of people were added to the body of Christ. Suddenly the Holy Spirit can fall on this town, and this church could be filled next week. Amen? God's not waiting to show himself to you or to this community. He wants to show himself every day, faithful, out every day. He wants you harvesting every day. Plant a little, harvest a little, and start speaking the truth of God into your life. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that you would just take the words that I've tried to communicate to these people, that you would let the ones that were from John fail. But the ones that were from you, let them enrich their lives, so they will produce in their lives, so that they can mature in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.